Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Boley is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Boley.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Boley. So glad that you joined us for the program today. Well, I'm sure that many people in our listening audience have heard all the hype that has been in the media over a book, and a book that has now been made into a film. And the book that I'm referring to is the book 50 Shades of Grey. And I know that many people probably in our listening audience that is made up of primarily of evangelical Christians across the Southeast, many of them immediately said, you know, this isn't something that's for me, and pretty much dismissed it. But I think it's important for us to understand what this book is actually teaching and what the film that is going to come out is going to be teaching as well. We've got to be able at least to understand the arguments, to be familiar with exactly what is being said or what is being promoted here. It's not said overtly. It's more covertly in the message. But the message is nonetheless just as powerful. And it's a message that is primarily going to be picked up by a number of teens and young people who keep up with these types of things in our social settings and on social media and so forth, and they're going to be very much influenced by the message that this book and movie are promoting. The movie is scheduled to be released in mid-February, and I think right around Valentine's Day, and I think that it's very important that we just at least discuss some of the themes that are there and help parents to be able to talk with their daughters and their sons about why the message that this book is putting out and this movie's putting out is so dangerous. Well, we have some help on this issue. I've been reading the last few days some blog posts by Dr. Miriam Grossman. Dr. Grossman's been with me before on the radio broadcast, and she's been writing in her blog posts a survival guide for parents dealing with this dangerous subject matter that appears in this film. Dr. Grossman, as I mentioned before, she is a medical doctor. In fact, the tagline on her website says, Dr. Grossman says, 100% MD, 0% PC. I love that. Great little tagline on there. But she's a medical doctor with training in pediatrics and specialty of child, adolescent, and adult psychiatry. She's also the author of two books. Her first book was called Unprotected, and her second book that I had her on the program previously to discuss, and you can find that on my website, knowingthetruth.com out there at or on sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. That book was entitled You're Teaching My Child What? And that was an interesting discussion about what's being taught in our public school systems, specifically related to the area of sexuality. She focuses on that aspect a lot on her blog and in her writings on sex education, on reproductive health, on sexually transmitted infections and so forth, high-risk behaviors. So she knows what she's talking about. She also sees many, many young people in her practice. And so she is able to speak from her own personal experience of hearing the pain and the distraught nature of these young men and women that come to her in her practice. So with that, let me welcome Dr. Grossman back to the program today. Welcome back, Doctor, to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Well, it's great to be back. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I've been enjoying the blogs that you have been writing. I say enjoying from the aspect of that you're giving a lot of help to parents. Why don't we start at the first blog post where you spoke about that there was a need for a survival guide for 50 Shades of Grey. Why don't you start at the beginning post about just, you know, what you're so concerned about and why you feel it was necessary to talk about this issue in a series of blog posts.
Sure. Well, even before the publication of this book a few years ago, and of course the movie, as you said, coming out with Valentine's Day, and that is of course intentional because it is promoted as a romance. Even before this series of books, there was reason to be very concerned about the level of misunderstanding and confusion and I would say distrust between men and women, and especially young men and women. The number one reason why young people are showing up in the office of therapists is because of romantic relationships. With girls, they'll often come in and you know, be aware of the source of their pain and talk about it. With young men, they're often using they're using ways to numb the pain. They're in substance abuse or other destructive behaviors, but at the root of it is very often a painful relationship. And so just to begin with, the baseline is one of problems, and one in which I know that parents really are needed in this way. They're not aware of it so much. They think that their kids will learn along the way and get good information somehow, but I've often wondered while sitting with young kids who are you know, bright and accomplished and have loving parents, I've often wondered, where are the parents? Are they just missing an action here? And so when it comes to this movie and film, you know, I've talked a lot and I'm blogging about how it's dangerous to our kids, but I'm urging parents to take this as an opportunity. It's a very valuable opportunity to sit down with kids and talk to them before the movie comes out, to reach them before Hollywood reaches them with the theme of this movie, which is essentially that physical abuse physical and emotional abuse is sexually arousing. In a nutshell, that is the dangerous message of this film. It's shocking, but if you hear it a few times, it becomes less and less shocking. And if it's a book that sold 100 million copies and a movie that's now, you know, has big movie stars and multi-million dollar publicity and the music and all that, it's it's going to seep into our culture. It has already done that and become more acceptable.
Yes.
And I feel very strongly that parents need to verbalize something that they never thought they would have to, and that is that no, this is not okay. That it is never okay in an intimate relationship to include acts of violence and degradation. It needs to actually be spelled out. And so I'm blogging about this issue. I'm giving parents lots of information about the dangers of this film. I'm explaining how to argue against some of the things their kids might say to them in response. And I've gotten tens of thousands of views on my blog in response. So there's a great need for this and a great hunger.
Well, let me tell our listening audience, in order to read those blogs, I think I didn't mention this in the introduction, but the website is www.miriamgrossman.com. That's www.miriamgrossman.com.
I'm sorry, it's MD. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
You're absolutely right. I'm looking at it here. That's right. It's miriamgrossmanmd.com. MiriamGrossmanMD.com. Miriam Grossman, MD, is all one word. Dr. Grossman, you give two suggestions then in the first blog, and this is great because you give parents very practical suggestions as they're going through this. It is a sensitive subject, and there are some links on here that will go into places that where it won't be as euphemisms and somewhat obscene language sometimes in some of the language. That's the nature of the film, unfortunately. But there's other ways to learn about this without being subjecting yourself to those things. But let me say that the first two suggestions that you give are, number one, learn about the film's plot and the main characters, Christian and Anastasia. Learn about them, at least so that you have some sense of credibility, that you at least know what the film is actually about, rather than just talking about it, you know, from a point of ignorance and not having any familiarity with it whatsoever. And then the second thing, and you mentioned that they can do that out on Wikipedia, and the second thing you mentioned is to identify some opportunities for private and uninterrupted time with your child. And you point to the idea that you mentioned already. You know, this isn't something that we can procrastinate about. We have to be proactive on this. We can't allow the only message that they receive to be that slickly packaged, airbrushed message from Hollywood. We've got to bring the truth to bear about what this movie is really talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. And I say there that parents need to think about some opportunities, such as, you know, maybe when they're in the car together or in the kitchen or garage. But the thing is this, you know, kids are attached, we're all attached to our phones and our devices. And what I tell parents is that if they don't think that they can get, you know, 5 to 10 minutes uninterrupted time with their child, and I'm including not only teens, but also preteens, if the parent thinks that they're hanging around with older kids and that they're exposed to these ideas, what I say is that they can actually bribe the child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's this important. And they can say, look, there's something critical that I want to talk to you about, and please turn your phone off for just 10 minutes while we talk. And afterwards, I'll give you $5 or whatever it is. I'll let you whatever it is that would be considered something, you know, a reward for your child.
Mm.
And then really go ahead and do it. I mean, take the phone, you know, turn the phone off and take it away and go away from distracting, you know, the television screen or what have you. And really sit down and even though it can be awkward and difficult. And you know what? When your child sees that you feel awkward and nervous and not sure what to say, that's going to make an impact in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that child will realize, gosh, you know, this is important. This is like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And will have some appreciation for the fact that, gee, my mom or my dad really, really cares about me and cares that I need to hear this stuff. Because I can see it's hard for him to do it, and he's mm-hmm. doing it anyway.
Yeah, good point. That's an excellent point, and I totally agree. Somebody once said silence is golden, or it's sometimes just plain yellow. You know, sometimes we're in our silence there. We're just afraid of, we don't know how to do this, and we're unsure and don't want to make a mistake. But in this case, you know, silence and just allowing them to hear just one message, which is the wrong message, it could be deadly for them. It could have real, real dangerous consequences, and we have to then seize the opportunity. In your next post that you write, you say this in the beginning of it. You say 50 Shades of Grey follows Anna, a college student, inexperienced in love, as she enters a dark relationship with a troubled man, rescues him from his inner demons, marries him, and rides with him into the sunset. Excluding hard pornography, I believe Hollywood has never produced a film so hazardous to young women. And here's the first two central concepts that harm your daughter. Let's talk about those. What's the first central concept that will harm our daughters if they're exposed to this film without understanding what's being said?
The first concept is that if a person consents to being abused, then it's okay.
Hmm.
And this, of course, is what's behind the idea of sadomasochism, which the film promotes. The idea that a person can be, if fully aware of what they're in for and what's going to happen, fully informed, so to speak, and they decide that they want to go for it, then no one should have a problem with it, and that's the right decision for them.
Mm.
And this is a very dangerous message to give people, and what I argue is that it is simply not emotionally healthy to include abuse, emotional and physical abuse in an intimate relationship, whether so-called consent is given or not. Plenty of people make fully informed decisions about things every day that they live to regret. They might regret it immediately. So the fact that you're fully informed does not necessarily mean that it's the right decision. And people who care about one another have an obligation to step in and to question it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing.
Yeah, you put
the
there,
other thing is that. I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
I just wanted to say that the succinct statement that you make on the blog is this, that in bold letters, no humiliation and abuse are never okay. So we need to say that very clearly. That's the simple statement that they could say, well, these are consenting people and therefore this is okay. No, humiliation and abuse are never okay. And so we need to make that crystal clear. Okay, the second point then that you make is what?
The second point is in the next blog.
Okay. Did I interrupted you? Did you want to finish a concept that you're another aspect to under this first point that you wanted to bring out as
yes,
well?
Yes, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to point out something. This is really central and essential. If you consider the title of this film, it tells you everything.
Mm-hmm.
The title is 50 Shades of Grey. The protagonist guy, the man in the film is Christian Grey. His last name is Grey. And the message here in the 50 Shades is that there's no black and white, that it's all just shades of gray. And that just sows confusion in the minds of people. And I'm arguing that in this case, in the case of abuse in a relationship, it absolutely is black and white. And there are no shades of gray here at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the danger of this movie is that it plants the seed, in the brain of the audience, and therefore really of all of our society, that this is a gray area, mm-hmm. and that sometimes it is okay, and that is the kernel of I would say. It's unacceptable, and it is just an evil thing to inject into our culture.
Exactly. You point out a couple of examples. You say, you know, they're silly examples, but they make the point. For instance, you say, if by her own choice Anastasia went on a diet of Cheese Whiz and gummy worms, no one pressured her. She could have picked other diets, so the decision was right for her. No, it's not. I mean, that's foolish. It's detrimental to her. And then you also give an example for Christian, and you say if he became distraught over world hunger and he decided to commit suicide by crashing his private helicopter into Seattle Harbor, it was a good choice because that's what he made, and it made him feel comfortable, and he wasn't forced into it and so forth. And now I'm commentating on it or giving commentary on it, it's a foolish choice. And we can say that it's a foolish choice. We can say, no, that's not a healthy choice. That's a wrong choice. And there are black and whites, and this is not a gray area that this is a good choice for them. In the same blog, you write this too. You say, the decision to consent to any form of abuse is self-destructive one. End of story. The toxic power of 50 Shades of Grey lies in its ability to plant doubt in your daughter. It leads her to conclude it's not altogether clear. The goal is for your daughter to believe everything or anything, even this is nuanced. And so it just raises that doubt that there is no standard, there is no line really. Everything is just to be seen in these gray, just whatever is good for you, whatever feels good, do it, and there's not going to be any real consequences to it, right?
Right. In this case, even if it doesn't feel good, do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's so perverted.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's a perverted sexuality that is being put forth, and it's trying to tell our children that this is completely normal, that, your peccadilloes against these things or any sort of objection that you would have, that's just from a bygone era. That's antiquated. You know, in this new enlightened environment, this is just fine, and it comes with no negative side effects, really, to worry about. Everything's going to work out just fine in the end. No, it doesn't,
yeah.
Right?
You know, I'm going to just bring something up that I haven't blogged yet about, but I think it will interest you and your audience, and that is that, you know, over the past 50 years or so, there's been, you know, since the sexual revolution, more and more types of behaviors that have been introduced as acceptable, and we're supposed to have open minds, and we're supposed to respect any choice as long as it is between consenting adults. But the thing is that part of the draw to these behaviors is that they're on the dark side. That is part of what makes them so appealing to people. Mm-hmm. But after a while, they're no longer on the dark side. They're just mainstream, and you know, there's books and movies about it, and you're seeing it, you know, at primetime television, and it's just another option. So what happens? After a while, there has to be another behavior that's on the dark side. And that's how we just keep getting darker and darker, because the attraction is to the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Grossman, I had asked you for just a half an hour interview. Does your schedule allow you to stay a little bit longer, that we could take a quick commercial break and then come back and talk about the third blog post that you've
yes,
written?
Yes, I could do 10 minutes, 10,
okay.
12 minutes, sure.
Okay, we'll take a quick commercial break now, and then when we come back from the break, then we'll go ahead and just at least finish up with this third post, and then we'll go ahead and try to let you go within 10, 15 minutes at the most. I actually have another interview I was going to try to fit in there. I've pre-recorded it the other day with Governor Huckabee, and Governor Huckabee in his book was writing about some of these similar themes, you know, writing about what is taking place in our society and the slide in our society. So it might be good to follow up afterwards with that interview as well. We're talking with Dr. Miriam Grossman. You can check out her webpage at miriamgrossmanmd.com. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio program today. We're speaking with Dr. Miriam Grossman, about some blog posts that she's been writing that are survival guides for parents and how they can speak with their daughters and their sons about the soon-to-be-released film called 50 Shades of Grey. She's been telling us from her experience as a medical doctor as well as a psychiatrist as well, from her experience of what she sees and what she has written about as well, the problems with the things, the concepts that are promoted in these books and film, soon-to-be-released film. We've talked about two of the blog posts already. You can read them out on her website at www.MiriamGrossmanMD.com. We're going to talk just briefly here in the second segment about the third post that she's put out there so far. I don't know how long this series will go for, but she's giving some very good practical help for parents to speak to their children about this film. Dr. Grossman, in this third post, you say a very important thing here. You say that some of the themes that are found in the film's plot, and you say, first, a central theme of the story, a good woman, Anastasia, can save a troubled man, Christian, from his inner demons. Now, I think that that storyline is extremely powerful. I find a lot of times these young ladies want to help. They see somebody who has lived a troubled life or something, and they feel that they can be the answer to their problems, and they can rescue these people and save them from these demons. What's the problem that you see with this in this film?
Well, the problem is that the troubled man has huge, powerful inner demons.
Mm-hmm.
He was traumatized and abandoned at a young age. He was sexually abused. And doctors, therapists failed to help him. And then Anna comes in, young, inexperienced Anna, and standing by his side, she succeeds in bringing him essentially into a healthy state of mind. They marry, they have children, and it seems to all end very happily by the end of the third book. And I'm just saying that, you know, this is just completely unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, is it possible? Anything is possible. You can win the lottery. You can be hit by lightning. You just don't, you know, you can't invest in that. You can't make a decision based on that level of probability. And in the real world, you can't even really expect people to change just a little bit.
Mm.
When you pick a life partner, you should pick someone because you love them as they are today,
mm-hmm.
not how you think you're going to fashion them into over the next years.
Mm-hmm.
And in the real world, a woman who makes a decision like Anna did of getting involved with such a very emotionally disturbed man would pay for that decision. It would be a poor decision, and she would pay for it.
Mm.
So what I want young people, especially daughters, because girls more, but young men too have it, but I think more often women do, of, you know, saving someone in emotional distress. I say that if she's drawn to that, she should consider going into one of the helping professions, social work, psychology, nursing, et cetera. And I'm not joking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, it shouldn't, you know, your spouse should not be your life's project.
Right. I think it's a great marriage counseling. I do premarital counseling, and I would say the exact same thing, that if you're looking at this person, that you're going to rescue them and fix them with the marriage, you're in for a rude awakening. And, you know, the somebody with the types of problems that this fella in the film has, these types of problems, I'm sorry to say this, and people hate to burst your bubble, but it's not just love that is going to correct a lot of those problems. There needs to be much deeper issues. They have to deal with those deeper issues that they have. And just the fact that somebody loves them is not going to correct those deep-seated, rooted problems that they have. And so it's completely bogus to think that way for this young woman. I notice they don't tell the story of all the myriads of others that the carcasses are the roadway is strewn with their carcasses from the damage that has been done in the lives of people who thought along this way, and then it didn't work out like it mm-hmm. does in the movies.
And the damage to the children of the marriage, of the
yes.
union as well.
Yes. You say the next idea in the concept that's put forth in the film deals with the idea, I'll just summarize, but Annie has a free will. She checked into this on the internet and figures out, you know, okay, she familiarizes herself with sadomasochism and these types of things. So she entered the relationship then in a very deliberate way. She was well-informed and very deliberate, and she knew what she was getting into. You would say?
Oh, not at all. Quite the opposite, because very, very soon after meeting, after the two meet for the first time, they begin having sex. Their sexual relationship began very, very early. And so what I explain is that, and this is what science says, that being intimate affected her feelings of attachment. It promoted her feelings of attachment and trust before she even knew him as a person. Mm-hmm. So I argue that she was simply unable to make a informed, neutral decision about whether to become involved or not.
Mm. There's another great point that you make as well, that she wasn't able to receive any counsel from somebody older and wiser. And part of the reason was that in the movie, Christian, or in the books, Christian made her sign a non-disclosure agreement. So she was locked in from any other message or any other wisdom telling her why this relationship would be so harmful. That added with a little bit of alcohol, she's not really the person making the best decisions in the world, right?
Right. I mean, you know, it sounds really silly, and it actually, you know, it's kind of stupid, but it can't be dismissed because it's this book series and movie is going to have such an impact. But yes, Christian does tell her that in order to find out anything more about him and before they start any kind of relationship, she has to sign a legal document stating that she cannot tell anybody what she's about to learn about him. Mm. And of course, this is before she is taken into his torture chamber and sees everything that's supposed to go on over there. So she signed an agreement saying that she couldn't share it with anyone. And here she is, a 21-year-old woman with essentially no experience in relationships, and she can't even turn to her mother, her grandmother, a trusted other older person in her life. And, you know, so she's just locked into this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Grossman, thank you so much for writing about this and for helping, seeking to help parents in your blog to have some real tangible ways of talking with their children about these issues that are broader than just this film, but that certainly an opportunity is presented so that we can bring these things up and talk very intelligently and wisely about why what's presented there is not a good image and is not going to work out well in real life.
Like I wrote, my goal is that by Valentine's Day, parents will actually be grateful that Universal Pictures is putting out this film, because it will have given them an opportunity to have perhaps the most important discussion they will ever have with their kids. Mm. And I also wanted to mention that down the line, I mean, I'm putting out blogs every so often, but the last one before Valentine's Day will actually be a letter that I plan to write directly to young people about this movie. Mm. So it's a letter from myself, and I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist, that I'm writing directly to young people, and parents can print that out and use it as they wish. Mm. So I encourage people, please come to my website, MiriamGrossmanMD.com. I'm also on Facebook, and there's lots of interesting discussions going on there. Please join us.
Oh, excellent. I'm so glad you gave that information. Dr. Grossman, thank you so much for being with us today on the radio program.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Again, that was Dr. Miriam Grossman, and you can go to her website, drmiriamgrossmanmd.com. You can go out there and check out the blogs that we've been referring to and watch for some of the future ones that she's going to be writing about as well.